Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So on this auspicious day, we're celebrating Vaishnava Diksha, the Diksha of two types. There's the first initiation, which is Kari Nam Diksha, and then there's the second initiation, which is the Brahmana Diksha, or Gayatri Mantra Diksha. And so both are very important, so I'm going to speak a little bit about each one, as we traditionally do. Of course, first we'll speak about Harinam Diksha. So the Harinam refers to the holy names of the Lord. And as we know, Krishna is 100% present in his holy names, Namachintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, as mentioned. So when we are chanting, Krishna is dancing on the tip of our tongue. So it's important to have the right attitude when you're chanting. I mean, normally we talk about the 10 offenses. So I'll mention them very, very briefly and then go on to the positive attitude. One thing I've noticed, just as a little side note, is that sometimes people recite the list of the 10 offenses and after they're finished reciting them, they go on to commit the 10 offenses. Does everyone understand that? You recite it, and then immediately your japa becomes inattentive. So we have to apply the 10 offenses, not just a ritual. Many times in Krishna consciousness, or in any religion, we actually get into a very ritualistic consciousness, that we do things at a certain time, but we're not doing things with our mind and subtle body. We're just doing things with the gross body. It's like putting your devotional service on automatic. You understand? In other words, like Prabhupada said one time, it's very interesting, he was chanting his japa and just telling us the consciousness we shouldn't have. He moved all of his counter beads down and he said, "Now I am finished chanting 16 rounds, I can do any damn thing." And of course there's a joke that devotees tell, is that, "Wake me up when my japa is finished." In other words, they're chanting unconsciously. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that of all the offenses, or at least the root of all the offenses on chanting, is the offense of inattentive chanting. In other words, you're not paying attention. Your mind is thinking about what you're going to do today. Your mind is thinking of criticizing Vaishnavas. Your mind is thinking of so many things. And you're not concentrating on the sound of the holy name. Now I'm going to tell you how to concentrate, but first we'll talk about the 10 offenses which you should be very careful to avoid. Not just recite the list, but be careful to avoid the 10 offenses. Very quickly. First offense, of course, is the offense of blaspheming devotees who have dedicated their lives to Krishna consciousness. And of course, the devotee is very dear to Krishna. Krishna says, Sadavo riyam mayam sadunham riyam tvaham mena naham tva naham tva sadunham riyam tvaham madanyat tena janati naham tevyo managapi. That's the rest of the verse. And that's from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says the sadhus, that is the devotees, they keep me in their hearts. And Krishna says, in a reciprocal way, I keep the sadhus in my heart. And then he says, because they, that means the devotees, do not know anyone else but Krishna as theirs, in other words, Krishna is the property of the devotee, then Krishna does not know anyone else but the sadhus as his. In other words, Krishna loves the sadhus so much that he will never forgive an offense made to a sadhu. The sadhu himself has to forgive, and sometimes even the dust from the feet of a devotee doesn't forgive, and you have to take the dust to get forgiveness. So this is the most dangerous thing imaginable, to criticize Vaishnavas, or what to speak of physically attacking Vaishnavas, what to speak of doing politics against Vaishnavas. Most serious offense. Anyway, we'll go on to the other offenses. The next offense is to consider the names of demigods, and there's 33 million of them. I don't know how you're going to chant all their names. Just like we have our Vishnu Sahasranam, that's only 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. There's Radha Sahasranam, there's Nrsimha Sahasranam, there's Ram Sahasranam, that's only 1,000 names. But there's 33 million demigods. You got to chant all their names. But the point is, their names have no potency compared to the potency of chanting Krishna's name. These are simply names of their positions. Like the name Brahma means the greatest. And so, we should not equate or even think the worship of demigods has anything to do, is even remotely connected with the chanting of Krishna's names. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Aham Adir Devanam, he's the source of all the demigods. Third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. When I first became a devotee, we were trained very nicely in discipline. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Garor Hitam Archyan Dasaman Nicho, as described by Prahlad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the disciples should be like discipline, like army discipline. If the guru says, jump, instead of saying why, he should say how high. You understand? But generally nowadays, if the guru says jump, then the disciple says, I want a second opinion. It's like going to a doctor. You know, the doctor says you have this disease. Oh, let me go to another doctor, see it. A nicer doctor. So the guru is like your doctor. He sees the disease you have and he wants to cure your disease. He's not sentimental, so sometimes it requires a little cutting. You understand? Sadhu also means to cut. So anyway, so we should obey the order of the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master will never ask us to do something that we can't do. He will challenge us. In other words, he'll ask us to do something that's hard, but he'll never ask us to do something that's impossible. He won't say, fly in the sky like Garuda. I've never seen Prabhupada say that. But Prabhupada also said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So, anyway, so the next offense to be avoided is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or any literature that actually leads one to love God directly or indirectly. That means other literatures and other religions. Next offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to the imagination. They're not imagination. Krishna is there. I've been chanting for so many years, and I can personally vouch or attest or promise by my own experience that Krishna is there in his names. And the next offense is to actually give some crazy, mental, perverted, rascal interpretation of Krishna's names. Next offense to be avoided is to commit sinful activities. That's another big one. Committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting. It's not that you should break the regulated principles and think that by chanting everything will be all right. And sometimes devotees struggle a little bit, but we shouldn't use chanting as an excuse. I can do any damn thing. Just like sometimes in certain religions, they think that their founder died so they can do anything. You understand? They say, so-and-so died for my sins. So it doesn't matter, I can be sinful. Because he's taken all my sins. That's rascaldom, isn't it? If someone comes to me and says, Gurudev, can you take all my sins so I can be sinful? I will punch them. It's nonsense. So get out of my face, you rascal disciple. Get out. If someone comes, isn't it? Like Krishna Chaitanya comes and says, I want to be sinful Guru Maharaj. So please take all my sins away. I said, you take your own sins and I'll give you more sins because you approach me. So anyway, so one shouldn't commit sins on the strength of chanting. And the next one is one shouldn't think chanting is just like a ritual, like Karmakanda ritual in the Vedas. Next one, offense to be avoided, is one shouldn't instruct the faithless people about chanting. In other words, we ask everyone to chant. Just like yesterday, I was at USP talking to some students. I got them all to chant. But I didn't tell them all the details about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. I didn't tell them so many things because they would have committed offenses and I would have been responsible. And the last offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna, maintain material attachments. Of course, it is not offensive to be materially attached, but it is offensive to maintain the attachments. In other words, in the chanting of Hare Krishna, there's three stages. There's the offensive stage, there's the clearing stage, and then there's the pure stage. There's actually a few more stages than that, but these are the three basic stages. So in the clearing stage, you're getting rid of the offenses. That's all. You still may have some material attachments, but you're clearing them. You're not trying to increase them. And the way you clear them is by taking good association, hearing regularly from Srila Prabhupada and other great Vaishnavas, and performing devotional service and chanting and worshiping the deities. There's so many nice things you can do. So one should not maintain or increase material attachments. And we also mentioned inattention while chanting. We mentioned that first. So these are the negative aspects or things to be avoided when chanting. But let's talk about something positive. First of all, you should study Lord Chaitanya's Shikshashtaka, the eight verses Lord Chaitanya left. These are the only eight verses that we know directly from Lord Chaitanya. And these verses display to us the mood of a devotee progressing in devotional service. Of course, the first verse glorifies the holy name in general. And then we start talking about, the second verse also glorifies the holy name, you know, nam namakari vadad, nijit sarvajatish, how the potency of the Lord is in his holy name, but we don't have any attachment. Why don't we have any attachment for these holy names? Because we're committing offenses. If you don't commit offenses, you will feel ecstasy every time you chant Gauranga. Gauranga. Say Gauranga. Gauranga. Alright, good. So every time we say Gauranga, Gauranga Balite Havi Pulaka Shavir, we'll feel ecstasy. Otherwise, if we don't, that means we're committing offenses. The Shikshashtaka tells us to be very humble, to serve the other Vaishnavas. That's another trick in getting a taste for chanting. If you serve the Vaishnava, Mahat Sevam, Ahur, Vimuktes, then you get such a taste for chanting that it's unbelievable. Because you got the mercy of the Vaishnava. I mean, it's one thing to touch a Vaishnava's feet. That's okay. But to serve them is even better. To follow their instructions. Sometimes people think, I just want the guru's feet, but not his mouth. They want to just cut off his body, you know. And as soon as the guru wants to speak, they say, Gurudev, you look real tired today. You should take rest. And the other day I got a letter from a disciple saying, Gurudev, now that you're very advanced in devotional service, you should just share your realizations and you don't have to tell us what to do anymore. You know, they said, you know, you should step out of management and don't tell us what to do. And I said, I didn't respond to it. I just said, Hare Krishna. So let me take the dust. No, it's Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chichete Kuriyakya. So anyway, we serve the Vaishnavas by serving and asking them what they want. Pariprashnena. And all Vaishnavas are our gurus. It's a very important point. It's not that you just serve your initiating gurus. That's crazy. Actually, this is Guru Varga, which means basically all the gurus, godbrothers, you consider like your guru too, and all Vaishnavas, in fact. We should think of all Vaishnavas as objects of service, and that will please the guru very much. Anyway, so, and then the Shikshashtaka goes on to tell us that we should basically renounce the attachments of this world, dhanam, janam, sundurim. And you can do that once you actually get a taste for chanting. Raso Varjam Raso Pyasha Param Drishta Nivartite, as Bhagavad Gita tells us. And then we go on to the higher stages. You know, when will I feel ecstasy? You know, we're hankering for ecstasy, nayanam, garu, galad. So when will I feel the tears coming out from my eyes? When will I feel shivering in my body? Vadavanam, gudgada, rudaya, gira. When will my voice be choked up with ecstasy chanting the holy name? Anyway, in this way, we should study the Shikshashtika. I mean, the last two verses of the Shikshashtika are probably a little bit too much for us right now. Yugayitam nimishena chakshushav. None of us are feeling separation from Krishna. We're feeling separation from Maya. You know, right now you're thinking, oh, a moment when I'm not eating is like 12 years or more. And my stomach is feeling pain. In the food's absence. And today is Ekadasi, so, you know, this is like the greatest austerity imaginable, not eating rotis. You know, so that's the opposite of how we should be thinking. Anyway, so we're not going to talk, you guide them, and then what to speak of the last verse of the Shikshashtika, that Krishna, you can do anything to me. We don't want that right now. Right now you're thinking, Krishna, you should do what I want. And then I'll worship you. So be practical. Understand your levels of self-realization. Of course, you should study all the Shikshashtika, but understand which one you're at. And specifically, most of us are at the level of Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram. Oh, my dear son of Nanda Maharaj, Ayananda Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram, Patita Mam Vishame Bhavambudo. I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I've fallen into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Kripya Tavapada Pankaja, please, save me, fix me up. Stiti Duli Sadrasam Vichintaya, fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet, right? So this is how we should be praying. Prabhupada said this, that in our stage, it's very practical, we can be praying, my dear Lord, save me, like a child crying for his mother. Please save me from this material world. And so that's how, in the mood that we should have in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Anyway, and also, in order to be attentive, while we're chanting, we should have some sankalpa. That means intention. In other words, I am chanting. We should ask ourselves, why are we chanting? Well, if your answer is, I'm chanting because I have to, that is not a good answer. It should be something like, I'm chanting to please my spiritual master, I'm chanting to get Krishna's mercy, I'm chanting to understand my spiritual identity, or I'm chanting for the welfare of my family, some spiritual thing like that. If you're doing anything because you have to, you should rethink your motivation. We shouldn't do anything motivated by the concept of I have to. Because then you will not be happy doing what you're doing. Everything should be done with the motivation, I am choosing to do this because of something that's really important to me. Like, I am choosing to sit here and give initiation. Why? Because that's pleasing Prabhupada, it's helping Prabhupada's movement increase. That's my motivation. I'm serving Prabhupada. It's not that I'm sitting on some big seat like some rascal because I'm enjoying it. I'd much rather be eating prasadam too. But I'm sitting here because my motivation is to help Prabhupada's movement. I'm a servant of Prabhupada's movement. So I'm not thinking I have to be here. I'm thinking I'm choosing to serve Prabhupada in this particular way. So rephrase your motivation in that way. And then everything becomes pleasant. Chanting 16 rounds becomes pleasant. Serving the deities becomes pleasant. Otherwise, it becomes drudgery if you think I have to. Anyway, so that's the first initiation. Second initiation is called Brahman initiation, and the devotees are getting the Gayatri mantra, or Gayatri mantras. There are seven Gayatri mantras, which those who are taking initiation will hear later on. And this is called Brahman initiation because the participants are being asked to come to the mode of goodness. And they're asked to develop specific qualities that are mentioned by Krishna in the Gita. Samo, Dhamma, Tapak, Shocham, beginning with that. Being equal poised in happiness, in distress, That's Samadarshi. Seeing all living entities, Pandita Samadarshanaha, as part and parcel of Krishna, that's also part of Samadarshi. Dhamma means controlling the senses. If you don't have controlled senses, Lord Rishabhadev says, Adanta Gopir Vishatam Tamashram Punak Punas Charvitachar Vananam, then you'll be dragged to hell. So we should have danta or dhamma, controlled senses, samadhamma tapa, and austerity. Of course, we don't have to execute the austerities that the sages did in the old days. Our austerity is accepting everything that pleases Krishna and rejecting everything that doesn't please Krishna. It's very easy austerity. Shanti, then, samadhamma tapa kshocham, shantir arjavam, so being tolerant, religious, honest. And one thing I want to emphasize in this particular verse is studying the Vedic literatures, jnana, studying Srila Prabhupada's books on a regular basis, and vijnana, applying the knowledge you have in Srila Prabhupada's books, the knowledge that you've acquired in Prabhupada's books. So that's application. When you apply something, you learn it. If you just hear, it's in one ear, out another. Did you know that? You read the Bhagavad Gita and you don't remember the next day what you read the previous day. But if you apply it, then you remember more. And to remember it completely, guess what you have to do? Preach it. If you preach something, or if you explain something, or if you teach, then you remember something completely. That's the method. Just like when I was a young devotee, I would go on Sankirtan and distribute Prabhupada's books. And whatever I read in the Gita that day, I would explain to people on the street in common language. I wouldn't, of course, just say, the Gita says, Tehinosmin yata dehe komaram jovanam dra tata deham duras prapti adiras tachat namuyati. I wouldn't recite the Sanskrit, but I would explain that a spiritual person has to be tolerant. That's a saintly person. And so people appreciated that very much, and I learned the Bhagavad Gita that way, by preaching. Everyone's meant for preaching. Men and women are both meant for preaching. Actually, women can preach very nicely. Some of our best preachers in the world are ladies. You should understand that. Not that the ladies can also make rotis too. But more important is they make bhaktas. We'd much rather have a bhakta than a roti. Right? Or bhaktis. Everyone's addicted to bhakti, to rotis here. But everyone should be preaching. You should all learn to explain Krishna consciousness. That way you will integrate the philosophy into your lives and be successful. I mean, I was giving Sunday feast lecture after 3 to 4 months in the movement. I was a temple president after 2 years in the movement. I was head pujari after 2 days in the movement. Of course, we're not expecting that. I think Radhika Prem would be upset. So the point is, we should be very greedy for spiritual advancement, to take more responsibility, to bring more people to Krishna consciousness. It's the most blissful thing when you bring someone in front of the deities and show them the deities for the first time. It is so blissful, it's unimaginable. When you give someone a book. So every one of us, Yari Dekatarika, Krishna Upadesh, Amari Gai Guru Hoi Tora Edesh. Every one of you is meant to be preacher, like a guru. Not just one guru, we're all meant to be gurus. And wherever you are, whoever you come in contact with, give them some Krishna. Give them at least prasadam, or get them to chant Gauranga. Gauranga? So, get them to chant Gauranga. I have one disciple in the UK, England, and she's a social worker. And she goes to work as a social worker, and all of her clients come in and she says, "What's the magic word?" And they say, "Gauranga." And then she goes shopping to the supermarket, to the cashier, and she says, "What's the magic word?" "Gauranga." So in this way, and she goes to the police, stop her for speeding, and she says to the police, what's the magic word? Gauranga. And they don't give her a ticket. So in this way, she's preaching all day long, getting everyone to say Gauranga. And she has stickers. She puts stickers up everywhere. You know, Gauranga stickers, Gauranga, Gauranga. So the whole country is becoming Krishna conscious due to her endeavors. Hare Krishna. They're celebrating. It's an early Diwali. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Those are devotees or what? Okay, so the whole country is Krishna conscious. And even the brahmacharis, they go out at night and they stick big banners of Gauranga on the bridges. They hang upside down from the big bridges in the UK. And they big banners, so that when the people go to work the next morning, they say, oh, Gauranga. And they're all chanting Gauranga now. Nice, isn't it? Of course, generally they're thinking Gauranga is the name of a bridge building company. Construction company. But that's all right. Whatever they think is all right. So in this way, that's it. The Brahmana's real business is to share, because a Brahman knows Brahman, to share Krishna consciousness with others. If we are simply keeping Krishna consciousness within our own selves, that's kripana. If you have something so nice, and that's the duty of all of you, if you have something so nice and you don't share it, then you're kripana. Just like every morning I'm taking a walk and there are dogs there. And most of the devotees, they say, dogs, very bad. But what I do is I take rotis for the dogs. And I throw rotis to the dogs and they eat them. So I'm thinking of their spiritual welfare. This is very nice. Of course, today, I have to admit, I made one of the dogs break a codicil. I gave the dogs a roti. I had, please, Krishna, please forgive me for committing the offense of having the dog break a codicil. So anyway... So I'm always thinking, you know, when I see someone, how can I bring them to Krishna? Because they belong to Krishna. I'm making tricks all the time. Just like we have this program in America called Krishna West. It's a tricky program to bring people to Krishna. You know, sometimes I'm dressing just like a normal Western clothes, so they don't discover I'm a sannyasi. Because if they see a sannyasi coming, they run away. Why you dress so weird? And then, after 2 or 3 months, then I let them know I'm a sannyasi. And then we had some people we were cultivating like that, and then they came to my Vyas Puja in America, and they liked it. But if they saw the Vyas Puja the first day, they would have freaked out. So in this way, we should use intelligence in presenting Krishna consciousness. Everyone here, it's your duty to present Krishna consciousness. All right. I think we'll end the lecture at this point, so we can continue by giving the spiritual names to the aspiring devotees. Okay? Alright, so first, Vijayata Vikashni. You come up and the way we do this, you offer obeisances to the deities, and then after that you offer obeisances to Prabhupada, and then you offer obeisances to myself as a servant of Srila Prabhupada. And then we can have one follow the other. So after that is Kushmakwati. Well, you have to follow in this order. Oh my God. See this? Celebrating the initiation. Why are they doing that? their body. They're celebrating my Vyas Puja, okay. So, Vijayata, Vikashti, Kushma, Vati. See, after that, where are the other names? All right, those two first. Everybody, all the initiates can go up and start offering their obeisances. I mean, that's the best thing. All the first initiates. And then I'll call one by one. Okay. Okay. Mala. Thank you. All right. Let's see. So, how many rounds do you chant?
16
rounds daily. Ekadasi, try to chant 25. I don't demand 25 rounds on Ekadasi. You know, if you can do it, it's all right. And if you can't, Krishna understands. But usually on Ekadasi, if I'm not doing all this stuff like giving initiations, I chant 64, but I won't ask you to chant 64. Okay, and how many rounds do you chant today?
Today?
Yeah, 16. And what are the four regular principles?
No eating meat with fish and egg, no smoking, no alcohol, no innocent sex, and no gambling.
Very nice. So, you get the beads with your right hand. Your name now is Braja Kishori Devi Dasi. Braja Kishori Devi Dasi Ki Jai. I'll give you the paper so you can see the name. Braja Kishori Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Of course, that's the name of Srimati Radharani. As everybody probably knows, that I usually give names of Radharani to people. So, Braja Kishori Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Okay, next is Kushma. Oh, Raja Kishori, here's your bead bag. Bead bag. Okay. So Kushma. Okay, thank you. What are the four regulative principles?
No eating of fish, meat, and egg. No intoxication. No illicit sex. No gambling.
No gambling. How many rounds? Kitna rounds? How many rounds every day? Kitna rounds?
16.
Okay. And so, you get the beads with your right hands. And your name now is, this is also a name of Radharani, Kavi Priya Devi Dasi. Kavi Priya Devi Dasi Kijai. So, Krishna is known as Kavi, and Kavi Priya is Radharani. Okay? Kavi Priya Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Let it go. Sit down. Okay? Next is Payal. Okay. Thank you. So, if we can untangle the beads, hopefully, yeah. So, what are the four regulative principles? Wow, you got everything perfectly. So, you get the beads with your right hand, Pyle. And your name now is right hand. Is Padmavati Devi Dasi. Padmavati. And of course, Padmavati is the name of Lakshmi. So, anybody who has her around, they'll have plenty of Lakshmi. It's my prediction. Here's your, I wrote it out. Padmavati Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Okay, and next is Brinda. Whoops. That's all right. We'll manage. We'll manage anyway. We just celebrated Brinda's birthday. Now this is her real birthday. Did you know that? The real birthday is the time of initiation. The other birthday It's just when the body plopped into existence. But it's just the body's birthday. But the initiation is the actual spiritual birthday. So, okay, so what are the four regular principles? Okay. And no kava. I know you don't take kava. How many rounds every day? 16 rounds every day. Very nice. So you get the beads with your right hand, and your name is another name of Radharani. Your name is Vrindaranya Priya Devi Dasi. Vrindaranya Priya Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Because Vrinda Aranya, Aranya means the forest. Let me just take off some of these garlands. Aranya means the forest of Vrindavan. Vrinda Aranya Devi. Actually, it's another name of Vrinda. Vrinda Aranya. That means the forest goddess Vrinda. You understand? That's nice. Vrinda Aranya Devi Dasi. That's a nice name. I wish I had such a nice name. Okay. Vrinda Aranya Devi. Oh, here. Oh, I gave it to you. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Vrinda Aranya Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Next is Koyal. And we have to make sure that Koyal came for initiation today. It reminded me of a story that I was told about Srila Gurudev, that there was this one devotee, Radha Shalini, some of you may know. She didn't want to show up for her initiation, so Gurudev said she had forced her to come. So I'm just following in his footsteps. So now you're ready. You have to be ready now. So, what are the four regular principles?
No intake of meat, fish, or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, and no eating.
Very good. And how many rounds have we done?
16 rounds.
16 rounds. So, because we insisted that you come to take initiation, I'll give you a special name in regard to that. So, you get the beads with your right hand. Your name now is Karuna Devi Dasi. That means mercy or compassion. It's the name of Radharani also. Karuna. You understand? You know that name? Everybody's heard of that name? Karuna. Karuna Devi Dasi. It's a nice name. Okay, Karuna Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Very nice name. And next, Jagdish. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so what are the four regulated principles?
Don't eat meat, don't drink liquor, can't gamble, can't go with others.
Okay, let me appreciate no intoxication. What about intoxication? No intoxication either.
Yeah.
Including kava.
No.
So, how many rounds every day?
16
rounds, okay. So you get the beads with your right hand. Your right hand. And so your name now is Jaya Dev Das. Jaya Dev. So Jaya Dev Das Ki Jai. And of course, Jaya Dev is the name of one of Krishna's greatest devotees who wrote the Gita Govinda, which is one of the most wonderful books that was read regularly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in dealing with Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Jayadev Das Ki Jai. Okay. You already have a name. I know, I'm just joking. All right. Whoops. Okay. Whoops. Sure, your name is Shalabram. It's a nice name. Shalabram Kijaya. So, here, you get the Brahman thread. You got to take off. Here, put your right hand, through. Put your right head. Good, okay. Now, later on, I'll give you the mantra. Okay. Okay, Hari Bhakti. Okay. How surrendered are you, Hari Bhakti? Completely? 50%? What? What? Not yes is not the answer. 100%, 50%, 90%? What? Okay. Get ready. Fasten your seatbelts, as they say. Okay. Right hand. All right. Oh, no more Brahman thread. Oh, the ladies don't get Brahman threads. I know. Hari Bhav. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, everybody can sit down now and have a fireside glass. Hari Bhav. Brahmani ki jai. Hare Krishna, 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 Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, 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 Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari.